Blog Talk Radio.
Happy noontime, everybody, on Veterans Day. And a sincere
thank you to our veterans from the Revolutionary War on for doing such a good job out there, and we appreciate it, and the day should be noted. I always like to say, being the old history teacher, the 11th day of the 11th month, okay, at 11 a.m. was when we signed the armistice for World War One. That's why Veterans Day is assigned to today. And I guess you might say at the 11th hour, too, that was a terrible and disastrous war. They all are, actually, but it should be noted. And thank you, veterans. I'm sure many of you are educators now, and some of you are in the military still and all that sort of thing. Good job. We appreciate it. My name is Larry Jacobs. This is Education Talk Radio, pre-K-12 edition. I'm going to love doing this show. We're going to have two great guests lined up, Scott Elliott, who's president of SEG Measurement, and then also, I'll bring them on in just a second as soon as I've done this little bit of housekeeping, Deb Poole, who's the vice president of product development over at Kinder Music there in Greensboro, North Carolina. We're going to talk about young children and literacy, and I think language as well, and then how it's all assessed and how this all matters in the growth of literacy amongst young children and for their future success. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio, one word, talk radio, education-talkradio.org, which is our website. And we do archive every show over there and schedule, show you the schedule, et cetera, et cetera. You can play around over there. Click over to Community College or Higher Education Talk Radio. Scroll down, Education News, all that sort of stuff is over there on the right-hand side. Good stuff. And we also tweet at EduTalk Radio, and before and after each show, we send out a direct link to that show on our Twitter feed. Okay, we do that at EduTalk Radio, at EduTalk Radio. Please follow us. And I'm following Kinder Music as of today. I'm going to give everybody a big hello here. First of all, ladies first, Deborah Poole, good morning. My name's Larry. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. I'm fine. How are you on this Veterans Day?
I am just fine. I'm looking at a gorgeous weather here in southern Maine. And where are you in Greensboro, North Carolina? Can I call you Deb? What do you like to be called, Deborah?
Yeah, Ms. call me
Poole.
Debbie.
Debbie.
Yes, Deb or Debbie.
It. Thank you, Debbie.
I'm actually
okay,
not
cool.
In Greensboro, Larry. I work for Kinder Music from my Chicago home. I live in the Chicago area.
Where
in Chicago? Where? I actually live in Evanston.
Evanston, Illinois. We lived in Rogers Park, just below the cemetery of Pratt and Newgard.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Right,
that's about
if you
like 2 miles from me. I could walk there.
I know where it is. Yeah. And if you walk through the lobby of the 400 movie theater, which I think is still there on Sheridan Road.
Yes, it is.
And went straight back four streets where the L crosses Pratt. We lived in one of those Victorian houses on Newgard Street.
Very good.
There you go. Yeah, pretty cool, huh? Well, Evanston's great, home of Northwestern University.
Yes.
Okay, glad you're here, Deb. Okay.
Thank you.
And you, again, you are the Vice President of Product Development at Kinder Music International I love this, a publisher of children's music and movement programs. I think this is great. And also language, which I learned on your website today. And we also have my good buddy, the one and only Dr. Scott Elliott. Good morning, Scott. Good afternoon.
Good morning, Larry, and how are you this morning? On this great Veterans Day, you being a long-term veteran of both talk radio and education?
Well segued, my friend. Well segued. Okay. President of SEG Measurement, an independent research and assessment firm located in beautiful home of my wife, where she grew up in New Hope, Pennsylvania. She grew up down a little bit down the road in Plumstonville. So I'm just off from both of you.
Yeah.
I'm just a few blocks off, a few miles off from both of you, where I had a lot of good times, okay? I got to tell
I've
you.
I've heard people say that, Larry, that you're a few blocks off.
I'm chip off the old few blocks off, okay? At Kinder Music with a K at the end. I always want to sing. Every time I say this, Deb, I always want to sing Edelweiss. Does that happen to other people?
That would be the right culture.
Right.
Kinder Music.
Edelweiss, Edelweiss. I won't go. Carrie Underwood's doing The Sound of Music live on CBS, I think December 5th. That's been announced on the football games. And I will sing along with Edelweiss for them. Kinder Music, KINDERMUSIK, at kindermusic@segmeasure, SEGmeasure, one word, the Twitter, and it's kindermusic.com and segmeasurement.com. Okay? So we'll do all that. We're going to archive the show at education-talkradio.org. Deb, let's start with you, okay? Scott's been on a number of times. My audience is very familiar with him. Talk about Kinder Music, okay? And then I want to hear, are you a music teacher or were you a music teacher? Tell me about all this before we get into the assessment part.
Okay, I am not a music teacher. I did take piano lessons, and I played clarinet in the high school band, but I am not a Kinder Music teacher. However, I work with many, many, many Kinder Music teachers and who are early childhood music teachers. Kinder Music is what we do over at Kinder Music is to train and license people to become Kinder Music teachers, which means that they can go into a classroom and, open up their own business and teach music and movement curricula, our music and movement curricula, to preschool children, basically, from birth to age 7.
So in other words, let me see if I understand. This is even more fascinating than I knew. So what Kinder Music is doing, okay, is it strictly pre-K or is it?
It is. It's birth to 7.
Strictly pre-K.
Yes.
Okay. Strictly pre-K. And what you do is a school, okay, or a club or whatever, would hire a Kinder Music trained person, okay, to come in and teach this method, this curriculum. And this would help music, literacy, and as I read on your website, language. Did I say that right?
That's right. So our original curriculum was made to be taught in private music studios. So a Kinder Music educator would open up her own business and offer classes to children and their parents. And around 2003, we realized that, with all the moms going back to the workforce and so forth, that the only way we were really going to reach a lot of children was to develop a program, a curriculum that could be taught in preschools. Okay? So we actually have two different angles to our business. And the ABC Music and Me curriculum that we're here to talk about today is that curriculum that is taught in preschools by the preschool teacher herself.
How old is the company?
Over 30 years old. I think it was, late 70s, early 80s, the first Kinder Music programs came out. And then we created the ABC Music and Me for preschools, later than that. And the program was originally from Germany. Our founder went over to Germany on a Fulbright scholarship in choral conducting, I think. And his name is Dan Pratt. And when he was in Germany, he witnessed these music programs that they had for young children, and it was called Kinder Music. Kinder is the German word for children, of course.
Like
and
kindergarten.
He brought that idea back and, developed it here for an American audience.
This is really cool. I have a very important question here. Mm-hmm. In order to become an executive at Kinder Music, must you have the initials DP?
No.
Hello?
No, yes.
Okay, with Dan Pratt and Deborah Boone.
Oh, Dan Pratt. I never noticed that before. Ooh.
Right?
You're good.
Dan Pratt. Am I
Dan
good
Pratt,
or what?
Dan Pratt, Debbie Poole. No.
There you
don't. There's lots of executives at Kinder Music with other initials.
I think they should be fired immediately. I think you need to make this assistant.
I almost was not asked to do the work for ABC Music and Me because I didn't have DP as my initials.
The wrong initials, Scott.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Do you mean Dot Pelliot? That guy?
Right.
Dot Pelliot?
Right.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So now we have ABC Music and Me. All right.
Right.
And you've got who are the people who go out and do the teaching? And we'll get to this assessment part in a second because I understand where we're going here. But who are those people? How do they become a Kinder Music person?
Well, here's the cool thing.
Talk to me. Yes.
The people who teach ABC Music and Me are the actual preschool teachers. And the way that they do that without any training is that the ABC Music and Me curriculum, we wanted to develop something that could go into the preschools, and we realized that lots of preschool teachers would feel uncomfortable singing and leading music activities because they would think, oh, you know, I'm not a music educator. How do I do this? So what we did was develop this method where we actually have a 30-minute lesson that is recorded onto a CD, and the preschool teacher, and we do that at Kinder Music with, you know, our educators and so forth, and we record all the music and everything. The preschool teacher then takes that CD, pops it into her CD player, and the class starts. And all of the instruction and all the music and everything is on that CD. That frees the preschool teacher then to really, you know, sort of facilitate the class. She gets out the instruments. She helps put, you know, the children be line up when they need to line up or do this or that when they need to do this or that. And so the teacher teaching is on the CD, and then the preschool teacher herself becomes the facilitator of the lesson.
Nice. It's a good idea. I love this whole thing here. It's called ABC Music and Me, and I assume the ABC goes back to that you're going to learn more than just music.
That's right.
Literacy and all. Yeah.
Yep. Our thinking at Kinder Music is that really music is a vehicle for all kinds of learning, and particularly at the preschool age, we know that children are learning in all of the different learning domains at once. And any experience is kind of a holistic experience. And so music becomes a way to, in a sort of fun and engaging way, to reach the child. And then there's a lot of different kinds of learning going on.
I couldn't agree more. And if I may, mathematics and music run together. They both start with M, like Dan Pat and Debbie Poole both start with DP. And music, okay? If you understand... If you start to understand music, you'll start to understand math, okay, just as an example, okay, of how this goes. And the music is very important, period, end of discussion. So what is the kid doing? The teacher's got the instruments out, which I assume was my old color xylophone. Remember those things? Or am I showing my age?
You're showing your age.
Yeah. I remember my father just before he went out to hunt mammoth. Came back with a color xylophone, which my mother, the mothers had to take their nail polish and go one, two, three, one, a number on each key, because that's the way we would learn how to do pumpkin pie, that song. I'm going back here a long, long number of years, and my mother numbered it wrong.
I think that was before music.
Where one would be and one would, 10 would be. So this quelled my music right off the bat.
That's why you became a history teacher rather than a musician.
A professional musician. He graduated Berklee College of Music. But it didn't come from Dad, I can guarantee you that. Okay. So, wow.
Cool.
So what's the kid doing? So the kids are...
There's poems and rhymes. There's a lot of listening to different sounds. There's playing along with instruments. There's lots of movement, jumping and reaching and skipping and dancing and so forth. Stories, poems, rhymes. There's always a hello song and a goodbye song to kind of set the context and give the kids a sense of beginning and closure. So there's a lot of movement. We know that children really, you know, at this age, they need to be on the move.
Deb, could you do me a favor? Scott and I see each other at every conference we go to, and I would like him to sing to me from now on a hello and goodbye song.
I'll work on that.
Okay. All right. All this is... I love this, by the way. I think it's adorable. And then what happens with... What's the teacher doing? She's handing out the instruments. She's playing along, doing all that sort of thing.
That's right. She's the first listener, you know, to the CD. She's the one who hears the instruction on the CD, and she can know. She also has a teacher guide she can read, but so she knows what's going to be coming up, and she leads the students in doing what they're supposed to be doing, helps them, get into place and stuff.
And if you had to define it, target why a preschool would purchase this, why a teacher should use it. Okay, then I'm going to get into Scott's side of the thing with the assessment, because we do know it works. But Deb, how do you focus that statement? Okay. What is the child going to get out of this when all is said and done? Because that's the bottom line, the learning of the child. Okay.
Well,
the child has
a chance to engage in a really fun, engaging half hour of music making, singing, stories, and so forth. And through that is really developing language skills, which that's the research that Scott will speak to.
Yeah, we're going to talk about this. Yeah.
You know, other kinds of skills as well, social skills and certainly motor skills, fine and gross
mm-hmm.
motor skills. As you mentioned, you know, music and math go hand in hand.
Oh,
so there's a lot of different domains of learning that are touched by this. And it's just a fun way to engage children and have a lot of learning go on in the classroom at the same time.
And before I go to Scott, this is the best leading question ever. You ready, Deb? What's the feedback from the teachers?
They love it.
There you go. Okay, and now we'll find out why they love it. Scott, tell us, put a position SEG measurement in all this.
Sure. Well, I think that's nice from what Deb was saying. You know, they came to us, Deb and folks at Kinder Music, and said, you know, we're hearing great things from teachers. Students seem to love it. Parents seem to love it. But we really don't have any hardcore evidence that it works or what it's doing. You know, we have a great sense that it's working, but we don't really have any proof. So enter SEG measurement. As you know, Larry, and I think many of your listeners know at this point, SEG measurement provides product effectiveness research where we examine a product or service from a company and use a scientifically based research model to investigate what the real effects are on students, on parents, on teachers. And that's exactly what ABC Music and me came to SEG measurement for. So what we did is we set up a study to look scientifically to see if it indeed had the effects that parents, teachers, and students were reporting anecdotally.
Mm-hmm. And? Continue.
And so
how do you do that research? That's the first thing. Okay. That's
sure. What we did was, in the classic sort of scientific model, is we had a group of teachers and classes that used the ABC Music and Me curriculum across a school year, last school year, and we also
across a random sample like rich kids, poor kids.
In this case, no, it was not random. It was existing users. I mean, ideally, you want random,
well,
but that's often
random.
Very difficult
that's
to
random.
Get.
Yeah, but that's random.
So it's users. Well, not as a scientist, but there's no reason to believe that there's
random.
Any systematic differences. And then we had a group that did not use ABC Music and Me for the year. And what we did is we measured that control group, and we measured the treatment group using it at the beginning of the year with a pretest, what's known as the PALS assessment, which is an assessment of early literacy. And then we measured them again at the end of the year. So we wanted to see if indeed the ABC Music and Me program was effective in developing literacy skills. We would expect the ABC Music and Me group to improve their literacy skills more than the group that did not use it. And I'll keep you hanging on the edge of your chair with the results.
What could the results be? Oh, please tell me, Scott.
The results were, not surprisingly given the feedback we've been getting, is that indeed the students in classes that use the ABC Music and Me curriculum gained much more from a literacy perspective than did those students who did not fit in the ABC Music and Me curriculum. In fact, they did 32% better on the PALS test. For those of you more technical, there was an effect size of 0.24, which means they gained about 10 percentile points. So think about kids at that age just gaining right off the bat by virtue of using ABC Music and Me, gaining 10 percentile points before they're even entering kindergarten.
That's pretty good. You know, I must ask you, how do you measure literacy in such young kids? Just give me an example of that, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, don't picture, wipe from your mind the picture of a room full of kids with Scantron sheets sitting quietly at their desks. That's not what you see when you do measurement in pre-K. What it is an individual teacher and student. Each student was individually assessed on a series of about a half dozen or so literacy scales that included you know, initial sounds, rhyming, word attack skills, and, you know, basic pre-literacy and literacy skills. And the teachers measured them. It takes less than an hour, but they measured each kid individually. And then they did so again at the end of the semester, both the control and the treatment group.
And how did you get the group that's not using Kinder music, the group that is not using it, to go along with this, Scott? That's good. That's good of them.
Begging. We have a secret weapon at SEG Measurement called Hillary Rickert. That in charge of our field services operation.
Yes, she
works with Debbie and other folks to encourage other folks to participate in the study for the benefit of research. They did get a small honorarium, but really they have to be interested in participating in the research.
Yes.
That would not be enough to motivate them. And also it might encourage them to use ABC Music and me in the future. But they agreed, you know, for one
year
as part of this research to participate.
That's really pretty good of them. I got to tell you, because you don't have it, and you're participating to help people gauge the reaction to it. That's incredible. So with this study, then, what happens now at Kinder Music, Deb? Okay, do you take the study around to all the various schools that you're calling on, and do they get it? Do they understand it?
Yes. So that has become, you know, a big part of what we tell potential customers when they, you know, when we're trying to interest them in the product. And, you know, the expectation that curricula are going to be demonstrated to be effective in, you know, really helping students learn, we know that's a huge expectation in the higher grades. But that's really coming down to the pre-K level as well, that the customers are, you know, they want to look at the research. They want to know that research is done. They want to have some evidence that, you know, a curriculum actually works. So we tell them all about it.
And the, students really, I mean, we ask a lot of students. We take it for granted that they show up to school every day, whether it's pre-K or 12th grade. And they have a right to an evidence-based education, one that we know is based on proven techniques that work. Is their time is valuable, too. We have to respect their time. We have to respect teachers' time. And, you know, they have a right to be using products and services that are shown to be effective instead of ones that we're guessing about.
And what was the time lapse between, Scott, when Kinder Music came to you and when you got the results? I'm just curious.
Well, the actual study started about in August. Pre-testing was mostly in August and September, and post-testing was mostly in May and into early June. We had been working with ABC Music and me to set up the study for a couple of months beforehand, doing recruiting, designing it, figuring out what measures we wanted to use, you know, getting our T's crossed and our I's dotted, but the actual study began in August of last year.
Wow. August of 2012.
Correct.
And it went from there. Okay, and then, Deb, you were able to use it starting this year, basically, right?
Right. The results started coming in during the summer, and I think we got a final report from SEG, maybe around September?
Yeah, I'd say early September, finally
had
the report. We kind of had results. We knew what our initial findings were probably in July, but getting it all in neat order probably September.
So we still feel like we're just starting to really roll this out to our customers and help our sales team understand, you know, how to talk about it and so forth. And this is our first chance to really say, hey guys, look, you know, this seems to really work.
Well, it does really work. Obviously, it really worked. I see it right here on your website. There's a tag: research proven results. Just 30 minutes a week delivers 32% more literacy gain for your students, teachers. There's a tag on there, and that's SEG Measurement that did that. Talk to me for a second, Deb. I'm on your website, Kinder Music, and I want to spell that, KindermusiK.com. Okay. Talk to me for a second about for parents. You have tabs on here, and I'm on the for schools one. But talk to me about for parents, and it says teach Kinder Music. Are you still getting people to teach Kinder Music?
Oh, sure. We're training new Kinder Music. We're training new Kinder Music teachers all the time.
And
they go out.
What do they do? Yeah, what do they do?
Then they go out into the world and start, either they start their own Kinder Music programs in their communities, and they might have their own studio, or they might rent a church basement or the rec center, or, you know, hold classes wherever they can. And some of our the people we train become, you know, start their own businesses. Other people that we train just want to teach. They don't want to own a business, but they want to teach Kinder Music within another Kinder Music studio. And so they go out into the world and they find a Kinder Music program where they can teach.
How many teachers do you have now at Kinder Music? Not
preschool. There are Kinder Music is an international company, and we have
Your Kinder Music is international. Your Kinder Music. Yeah, okay,
yeah.
Cool. Go.
Yes, it is. So
I didn't know
whether
you were referring
teachers.
To the German was. Yeah.
No. Our Kinder Music is international. It started in Germany, but our program is now in, you know, like over 40 countries or something. And I think we have over 4,000 Kinder Music teachers scattered in countries all over the world. And that's something you can see at the website, too. There's...
Yeah.
Kind of shows you where all we are.
And Larry, you were also asking about, you know, sort of what happens from here. One of the things, we've submitted this for presentation at a, peer-reviewed conference. We're still waiting to hear, but we're optimistic that folks are going to want to hear about these results more broadly at a professional conference. And so they'll be shared probably next spring if all goes well. And then we're also beginning to talk about, you know, where might we go from here research-wise? It's always when you do research, it raises more questions than it answers.
Right.
So we're also looking at, you know, what other kinds of things we can look at.
I keep pushing my buddy's book. My friend Stuart Feierstein, my oldest friend in the world from Philly, is the was just recently. He's now at Cambridge University, but he was chair of the biology department at Columbia. He wrote a book called Ignorance. And his whole point is what you just said. Whatever you do, it raises more questions. And what really moves things forward, okay, is not what we know, but what we don't know, all right? And
right.
So when you say, you know, it raises more questions, all right, it's just incredible. The book, but Ignorance, is available on Amazon.com. I would like to push this book, Stuart Feierstein.
Unfortunately,
book,
Larry, Ignorance is widely available.
Well, unfortunately, it is, but believe me, that's what he starts off on. I got to tell you, it's not that kind of ignorance, okay? But you are correct. You know, I must ask, as Kinder Music went around the world, it's in 40 countries. It's Kinder Music.
No, actually, I'm on the website now. Correct myself here. It's in 72 countries. It says on our website.
72 countries. There is it. Should I click on the little? Globe
if you go over, if you hover on that,
oh, yeah, 72
that countries. Little globe.
There it is. I just moved my cursor there, right. Starting with Argentina with the A's, S-A-B-C, and going down to the Virgin Islands, we need Zambia and Zimbabwe in there. We've got to get some Z's going, all right? Get your Z's, okay, Zambia and Zimbabwe. But was it, as you did that, okay, as you took Kinder Music around the world, is that what you saw as you – and I just want to give a little plug here to ABC English and Me, which obviously teaches English language skills. And you must have seen something, okay, or Dan saw something. And he said, wow, wait a minute, I got something here. Just talk about that for a second. Because I think this is incredibly important.
When people started teaching Kinder Music all over the world, what they noticed was – and, you know, we didn't translate it. The songs are in English and the instruction is in English because usually it would be, people who could understand English who were choosing to teach it. And they would teach it in all these other countries and notice that the children would start picking up English, right?
Wow.
Just through these Kinder Music classes. And so the idea was born, hey, what if we actually set out to teach English intentionally through music and movement, and that was the beginning of ABC English and Me. Now, ABC English and Me is basically this, you know, it's taking the ABC Music and Me approach, but incorporating intentional English language learning, like a very, very first course in learning English for little guys, for really little ones, for this same age group. So we
this is incredibly important because I just did a show today about the underachieving Hispanic student population. Okay, and so many of the kids are first and second generation of Latino descent, and just in that one example, you go through any language and they come here, but they fall behind because their language isn't good and their preschool isn't good. Now New York's starting a full preschool program, et cetera. I mean, this is great stuff.
Yeah, the ABC English in Me is intended for students, for children who are living in non-English speaking countries. For the Hispanic population here, we actually have some Spanish supplemental stuff for our regular ABC Music and Me programs that helps the parents understand what's going on and also helps that English language learner in this country where he's in Texas or somewhere. He's surrounded by English when he, goes to school or he goes to the grocery store, he goes to the library or whatever, but he needs a little bit extra help. And so we have supplemental instructional materials to help the teacher help those students. And then we provide materials for the parents as well because we think that connection between home and school is so important. With every Kinder Music or ABC Music and Me curriculum, there's home materials as well as, classroom materials. And for the English language learning students here in the United States, we have Spanish language home materials. So we're trying to address that. Sorry?
And that is... Scott, were you saying something or
no?
Oh, okay. All right. I was just going to say, we don't have time for it today, but I'm curious about this part. Okay, if ABC English and Me works overseas, all right, in other countries, it should also work over here as kids need English skills and all that sort of thing.
Except,
and I understand exactly what you said. Yeah, go ahead. Except,
yeah, it's just it's much more slowly paced. The ABC English in Me is for kids who just really don't hear English at all in their everyday lives, and they haven't been exposed to English at all. Whereas the kids in this country who are coming, from Spanish-speaking countries, they're surrounded by English. And so they're picking it up at a much faster pace.
Point is, this stuff is really good and it works. And Scott, which begs the question, we know that ABC Music in Me, which you did the research on, and has a 32% more literacy gain than not using it in the research you did, okay? And I know your company. I know it's solid research, okay? And can we jump the gun and say if the method works in English, in music, it also works in teaching English skills, or is that too far a jump in the world of research?
Well, you could speculate. It would be reasonable speculation, but you really don't have that evidence until you really look to see in that environment whether it works to confirm it. But you have a pretty good idea that you can make to some extent extrapolate. But to really know, you've got to do the research in that environment.
Okay. And I love to see for yourself how music, and music's the international language, basically, how music can boost language and early literacy abilities of students enrolled in your school, teachers, educators, parents for your kids. And you could also probably find a Kinder Music place near you if your school isn't doing it. Like if your kid is young, they're not going to preschool, but there's probably a Kinder Music place nearby, right? Right, Deb?
Right.
Do I pick
you
up on
our
this
website
or what? Do I
find out.
Do I understand this, Deb, or not? Do I get it?
You get it, yes.
Thank you. This is really cool. Scott, how do you want to end this?
I want to end this on a positive note. It's a wonderful thing when we find an intervention in education that works and one that is so much fun for the kids and teachers. I don't think you could ask for much more than that. So it was really study to work on and great to learn that an effective intervention.
And Scott, can you now sing John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt?
No, I'm going to spare you, but maybe when we get to the next conference, I'll sing for you.
I'll see. You're going. And that was the only reason I'm going, by the way, to SIIA. So, Okay, so that was the reason to hear you sing "We Love These Songs." Deb, what would you like to say as we wind down? This is your chance, Deb. Go for it.
Oh, I would just encourage everyone to check us out because the kids love it, the teachers really love it, and Scott's shown that this curriculum really works to help kids in their literacy skills. And what could be more important than learning how to, you know, read?
Well, nothing's more important than being literate in this day and age. I got news for you. The sooner we get that, and New York City is getting it, and I hope everybody gets it. This is not a joke. We can't let preschool die down. Okay, and there's a lot of trouble, you know, with federal funding for Head Start and all that. We cannot let that happen. Okay, we've got to put our dollars into things that work, and one of the things that works in preschool literacy is Kinder Music. That was a good one. Thank you, Deb. I appreciate you being here today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Larry. It's been fun.
And thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
I was going to say thank you to you, Sky. I was going to say thank you.
I just wanted to make sure.
Okay. and to make sure he doesn't feel bad, thank you, Scott Elliott, president of SEG Measurement, okay, for coming on yet again and showing us the importance of assessment in measuring the ability of curriculum to make sure students learn, and that's the bottom line. And with Common Core coming down the pike, it's an even bigger bottom line. Scott, you do good work, and I'll see you in about 3 weeks in New York. Am I correct?
Great. I look forward to it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Me too. And by the way, Deb, I know you won't be there, Deb, but you can listen to this. I've heard Sammy's Steakhouse down in the Lower East Side. We should have dinner there.
Hello? Is that in New York? You're talking to Scott now, right?
That is. Where, did Scott leave?
I think he left.
He left. Is that unbelievable? Deb, would you like to go with me to Sammy's Steakhouse?
Absolutely. Next time I'm in
Good
New
girl.
York, I will
when
come.
When we're in New York, we're going to do it.
Okay.
Deb, give my regards to Evanston. Have a great time.
Okay.
Up there.
Thanks,
up there.
Larry.
I love it. And,
all right.
Be good, Deb.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was, literally was, Scott Elliott, my good buddy, Dr. Scott Elliott, president of SEG Measurement, segmeasurement.com. He did great research proving that how good Kinder Music stuff is, okay, in teaching literacy to young children. Deborah Poole, thanks so much. Your VP of Product Development at Kinder Music with a K at the end, Kinder Music, MUSIK.com. Okay, I'm following them on Twitter. We're going to tweet out the show at EduTalk Radio. We're going to put it up on education-talkradio.org. Scott, this was great. Deb, continued good fortune. That's a nice company you got over there, Kinder Music in Greensboro, North Carolina. Okay, my name is Larry Jacobs. This is K-12 Education Talk Radio Show. Thanks so much for listening.